Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Vienna International Airport Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Judith Helena. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our half-year results presentation. The conference will be held, as usual, by our board members, Mr. Ofner and Mr. Jaeger. The slides are available at the homepage under Investor Relations Presentations. As Mr. Ofner is currently traveling and he has dialed in himself, please apologize if we might face some technical problems, but normally it shouldn't be the case. As you've heard, the call will be recorded and it should be available tomorrow, the latest, at our homepage as a replay. And now I'd like to hand over to Mr. Ofner. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon to anybody. We today released our results for the first half of 2015, and I think the figures are pretty good. So despite a short drop in our passenger numbers until end of June of 0.8%, we could substantially improve our results. And despite the fact that the revenue is only up by 2.2%, we could improve our net profits by 8.1%, which shows that still we are on track in regard of improvement of our productivity. You see this also in detail, if you look at the chart on the next page, in relation to the EBITDA margin, which could be further improved if you compare first half year of 2014 to first half year of 2015, you see that EBITDA margin went up from 41.5% to 42.6%. What are the reasons for the results? On one hand, we still control our costs, and fortunately our strategy to insource some services results in cost improvement. On the other hand, you also see in regard of personal expenses that the incorporation of employees that so far have worked on a contractual basis as leased employees has its effects, and also the new passenger handling service, where now more than 100 people are fully employed, and which is also contributing to higher personal costs, including also the 2% increase, which results from the new collective agreement that started from 1st of May. What is also important is that we could further reduce our net debt position, which maybe for a short period of time might be even below our midterm target of net debt EBITDA ratio of 2.5. I mean, there are still open issues where we will end up this year. You may remember that still we have not received the second instance decision in regard of the second runway, third runway, and this could influence net debt position and also other factors. Growth perspectives for the rest of 15 are good, as you can see on passenger numbers for July, which came relatively strong, but the details regard of that will be presented to you by Julian Jäger. If you look at the earnings improvements in detail, you see that EBITDA went up by 4.9%, EBIT by 8.6%. The improvement of the financial results could be achieved despite the fact that last year we had a one-off effect from the selling of our stake in Friedrichshafen. Earnings before tax are up 9.1% and net profit 8.1%. In this aspect, you should note that the one-off result improvement last year from selling our stake in Friedrichshafen was a tax-free income, so the ratio of taxes is a little bit higher this year compared to last year. Financial results went better because we have still slight improvements in regard of our interest payment and in totality reduced debt, so that this contributes positively to our financial results. If we go to the expenses, you see that expenses for consumables and services used are down in compared to last year, and as already mentioned, personal expenses are up, and the reasons for that is the collective wage increase. The average number of employees was up 0.7%, but in the last month we had to increase personnel, especially for passenger handling, and we incorporated prior temporary employees into our subsidiary VIT, and there is one additional effect in one of our daughter companies. We had to allocate some provisions in regard of a labor relation dispute, which is about the interpretation of the collective agreement, and this might result in extra payments for the last 3 years. And we have fully provisioned for that. Also, it is a court case, and it's not predictable right now what the court finally will decide. Other expenses were reduced by 5.5 million. This was on one hand caused by lower third-party services and on the other hand by a release of provisions. Some of you already asked in advance about this provision. It's roughly 3.9 million euros. But if you look at one-off effects, in total positive one-off effects, they total roughly in 4.3 million, which is exactly the same number we had in the first half year of 2014. So per saldo, there is no substantial difference in regard of that compared with last year. And one of the reasons is that we could also release a provision in regarding a court case which we won. I mean, you have the details for our net debt situation, which resulted in 468 end of June, and the gearing of 48.5%. Net cash flow from operating activities with 110, and free cash flow with 73.4. So we are staying now clearly below our midterm target of 2.5 EBITDA, net debt EBITDA relation. Equity is up by 1.4% and the equity ratio at 52.2%. In regard of CapEx, we are at 24.6 million, which is a little bit below the value of the first 6 months last year. In regard of financials, you may be reminded that we have a 400 million EIB loan, and the payback is starting next year. So in June, we will pay back the first rate, which is 25 million, first installment. And this will slightly reduce our interest liability next year and in the years to come, and will also reduce this long-term fixed interest liability, which will start with 400 million, 16, and then be reduced by 25 million in the years to come. Cash flow, as already mentioned, remains strong. CapEx is slightly below prior years, and for a full year, from today's perspective, we will end clearly below 95 million, which is partly due to the fact that some of the projects will not be realized that have been a part of the initial plan, and some of the projects are delayed, and in other projects we had cost reductions. So all these effects together will result in less CapEx than initially planned. The main projects that are underway right now are the acquisition of winter service and equipment storage hall, the start for the project of air cargo center expansion, the preparations for the construction of the new hotel, the runway renovation, which is a major part of our investment program of this year, and also revitalization of Office Park 3, expansion of conferencing, and other things. So coming to the outlook for 2015, I think we can clearly confirm our guidance. And from today's perspective, it might look even conservative. So the revenue will be above 645. EBITDA should be clearly about 250 million, and group net profits should also clearly exceed 85 million. Net debt should end up below 500. And CapEx will be clearly under 95 million. So that was for my part, and I hand over to Julian Jäger.
Thank you very much, Günther. Good afternoon. I would like to start with the segment results. Regarding the airport segment, you saw that we had an increase in revenues by roughly 2%, mainly due to despite the reduction in passenger numbers, due to a shift from transfer passengers to local passengers, which reduced incentives being paid out. On the other hand, we saw a significant increase in the MTOW. So on average, the aircraft were significantly bigger, which led to an increase in aircraft-related fees. Obviously, we saw an increase in the regulated fees in general, and other revenue grew quite significantly, mainly due to increase in revenues from lounges. Handling, increase in revenue, but mainly due to the entering into the passenger handling, apron handling down by 0.7%, cargo handling minus 7.1%. So obviously this reflects the reduction in aircraft movements and cargo. So this led to a slight increase, but on the other hand, we saw increases in our staff costs. On the one hand, due to the fact that we entered into passenger handling, the increase in our collective agreement by 2% compared to last year, and therefore the EBITDA and EBIT went quite significantly down. Retail and properties, encouraging increase in retail, plus 7.8%, rentals plus 1.2%, and parking plus 1.2% revenue. The increase in retail is positive, and we are pretty sure that we are looking at a PRR above 2 euros, so we should meet our guidance this year definitely. The increase is coming essentially from all throughout the board, so duty-free, specialty retail, F&B, whereby we saw a significant above average growth in specialty retail and F&B. July throughout was good as well, and we feel very strong that we will surpass the 2 euro per passenger PR in 2015. Our subsidiaries both doing very well. Malta International Airport saw an increase by 6.9% in passenger numbers in H1. Košice plus 15.7%. Both Malta had an excellent July as well. Košice a slight increase in July of roughly 2%. So both seem to be pretty much on track for the year 2015. Yeah, regarding traffic, I don't want to spend too much time to talk about H1. You minus 0.8% in passenger numbers, plus 1.8% local passengers, minus 8.4% transfer passengers, flight movements minus 2.2%, MTOW plus 2.7%, load factor down minus 1.6 percentage points. This was the negative surprise to a certain extent. In respect of the areas of crisis, I would say that Ukraine seems to have found the bottom. So even July, we saw a marginal increase from Ukraine. Russia still down, both in H1 and July, by between 20% and 25%. So this is the area where we see still significant reductions in traffic. Egypt is up, Israel is up. So it seems while we face the crisis still in the first 6 months of this year, I think this should ease in H2. Austrian, obviously, significant reduction in market share, minus 7.5%. Overall, Lufthansa Group had a market share of 56.8%, minus 5.7%. percent, Air Berlin and Niki, slight reduction in market share from 16.9% down to 16.7%. And the good news is essentially all the others are up. So we saw a very strong increase all throughout the board, be it British, Emirates, KLM, EasyJet. Strong growth from all the other passengers. The positive surprise in July was the increase in the seat load factor from 78.5 to 80%. We more or less knew about the seat capacity, so this was not a surprise to us, but on top of it, an increase in seat load factor was not expected. Therefore, we came to 2.36 million passengers plus 6.7%. Even transfer is growing again with plus 5.5. Flight movements down 0.6%. So overall, we are very sure that we will meet our guideline from 0 till 2%. We are up 0.5% until the end of July. August is doing well. So there's no need to assume that we would not be somewhere between 0 and 2%. Flight movements looks more challenging, so it might well be that we don't that we would see a minus towards the end of the year. But no reason to doubt in any way our financial targets. Overall, in regard of traffic, positive news from Austrian. So they're starting now in Manchester, Mauritius, Miami. They closed down Kharkiv, Dubai, and Rostov. Niki start Alicante, Catania, Paphos, more flights to Zurich, but on the other hand, they're closing down Athens, Moscow, Munich, and Tel Aviv. So this means that the leisure focus of Niki even was strengthened. And apart from that, we are very happy to see EasyJet growing in Vienna with Amsterdam, Berlin, Bristol, London, Luton, and Manchester. Starting from autumn this year, to Eurowings aircraft starting from autumn. So essentially, from a capacity point of view, we should be looking at an increase in seat capacity for the winter schedule 15-16. I would guess, depending on the month, something between 1 and 2.5-3% increase in seat capacity, but still the there's a big question mark about the load factor, so that's why as you've seen throughout the first 7 months of this year, this can fluctuate quite significantly, and therefore the load factor essentially will determine if we are somewhere around 1% or if we climb a bit higher in terms of our passenger numbers for the full year of 2015. I think that there's some more good and bad news from destinations and so on. I think you can go through the slides yourself. As I said, overall, the outlook is growth in passenger numbers, more challenging to meet our guidance in terms of flight movements. But overall, we are pretty much on track to meet our financial targets.
So this would be the presentation from our side now, and we would come to your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question over the telephone, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And please state your name before posing your question. Once again, press *1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow participants to signal. Our first question comes from Thomas Van Dermje of Kempen. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, this is Thomas Van Dermje, Kempen. Actually, three questions from my side. First of all, on the CAPEX, how much of your CAPEX is postponed and should we include in our model next year, and how much is actually cancelled?
I would say roughly one-third of the difference.
Okay. And the positive number on retail sales, is that purely related to peer rest, or have you seen other trends as well?
I didn't get that.
On the retail sales, the positive movement in retail sales, is that related to the opening of peer rest last year, or is there also other trends visible?
It's not only peer rest. I mean, peer rest is the reason why we saw very significant growth in the F&B side. So their F&B air side, we saw a very, very significant increase in the first 6 months of this year, roughly 25%. So this is peer rest. But not only that. I mean, finally, we saw a significant increase in the shops airside. Landside, there's not so much movement, but the specialty retail airside does extremely well, and duty-free saw an increase in the first 6 months of this year. July looks even a bit better in terms of duty-free. So it's peer rest is an important part, but we saw in F&B, we saw in Terminal 3 an increase significantly above the passenger numbers as well.
Okay, could you maybe provide a number if you would exclude peer rest, what your growth would have been?
Honestly, I don't think that it makes a huge difference. We can provide that, but it's not that. It's around. I would probably overall. It's probably 400,000 euros.
Okay, clear. Last question then. When would you be ready to provide an update on your longer term strategy / CAPEX need and the potential increase in dividend payout ratio?
Yeah. I mean, we are still in the phase of project development for the Terminal 2 and related projects. And maybe that we see significant progress for discussing the project with our supervisory board November or December of this year. And as you are already indicating rightly, this question is linked somehow to our mid-term CAPEX plan, and this also reflects then our possibilities and our strategy in regard of payout ratio. But in general, I think it's not totally wrong to assume that once the results get better and our net debt EBITDA ratio is even below our midterm target, that this also gives some room for dividend improvements.
Okay, so most likely we can expect more clarity and guidance there with the full year results.
The latest, yes.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic, thanks. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks.
As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Andy Jones of RBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, also good afternoon.
Good morning,
Three questions for me, please. Firstly, on retail spend, is there anything that we should have in mind for the second half of the year which might prevent you from maintaining a spend per pax around 205, 206? On car parking in the second quarter, revenues actually went slightly backwards on my calculation. Is there anything specific going on there in terms of pricing, or is it maybe the impact of the train station? And finally, could you just confirm if you get approval for the runway in this year, there would be about a 50 million cash outflow. Is that the right number that I have in mind? Thank you.
Yeah, a little bit less than 50. Rita, I think you have the exact figure in mind.
It's around 44 million.
Yeah. In regard of car parking, we had a price increase for our distribution channel of the travel agencies starting from 1st of April. So they bought many of these tickets in advance. Therefore, we had an increase in March and in the first quarter, and suffered a little bit from this effect in the second quarter. But overall and in average, it's in line with our expectations.
Okay.
Regarding your first question, there's no reason to believe that there should be any reduction in the PR levels in H2. July was pretty encouraging, and again, the revenues significantly above the passenger growth.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Bernard Meyer of ORCB. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Bernd Maurer, Raiffeisen-Central Bank. Also some questions from my side. First, I want to come back to the previous question on the potential cash out after potentially receiving the approval for the third runway later this year. You now figure that between 40 and 45 million euros. To which is this cash out related to, or to what is this cash out related to?
Yeah, that's the environmental fund.
Yeah.
That...
you have to donate
on a yearly basis,
mm-hmm.
and which is liquidated once the positive second instance decision would be issued. So it was provisioned for on a year-by-year basis, and the dotation is related to the number of passengers and to the noise factor. That is calculated year by year in relation to the movements and the effects of using different spaces in our airport from the aviation sector. And now, once the second instance decision would be positive and would be issued, the provision sum would have to be liquidated. So it has not a direct influence on our profit and loss account, but it is influencing clearly the cash position.
Okay, thank you very much for the update. Then also I think a question for you, Mr. Ofner, regarding the provisions. You stated that in first half 15 you had a positive net effect of filling and releases of provisions of about 4 million euros. When
Of all one-offs.
Okay.
But mainly it's provisioning, yes.
Yeah. When exclusively focusing on the second quarter, looking at the second quarter, the building of provisions, of personal provisions, was about how much, and also the release within other operating expenses. Can you give these numbers here?
If I'm right, we provisioned 1.5 million
within personnel,
extra personal costs,
yeah,
and we released 1 million from the court case we won, and we released an additional, I think,
2.5. So you have a building of provision of 1.5 and the total release of provision of 3.5 million.
Roughly. yes.
Yeah, roughly. Thank you very much. And I think now switching to Mr. Jaeger with two questions on the traffic development. First, you've on the new destinations, and I very much cheer that you now also are included in the slide the destinations which were suspended. You've then positive net effect, I think, is mainly now an effect kicking in the second half. Am I right here? And not equally split over the year 2015, so that we saw most new destinations now in the second half.
Look, I think the positive development we see now in July, and to a certain extent we are looking at a similar development in August so far. Mm-hmm. At the same time, that it's quite a challenge for us that our traffic, it becomes more and more peaky. So I would not encourage you to assume that Q4 would look in any way similar in terms of seat capacity than Q3.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen Niki becomes more and more peaky, even Austrian does the same. So as I said before, I assume to look at an increase in seat capacity in winter schedule, so from November till the end of March. February next year has one day more than this year, so this provides you with an extra 3%. but overall, I think we will look at an increase in seat capacity between 1% and 3% in the winter schedule. And then it depends a lot on the load factor. If this mm-hmm. gives you a positive net result in terms of passenger numbers, or we might well look at a decrease again as we did this year. So Q3 should see a very healthy development both in terms of seat capacity and passenger numbers. Winter schedule, still too early to have a feeling on the occupancy rate.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And finally, from my side, how big you see the potential of Eurowings in Vienna? So far it's only about one plane coming in November this year. A second one will be stationed in spring next year. How big you see the cannibalization within the Lufthansa group, or also traffic which is taken from Niki? Or how much it's really a boost to your midterm traffic development in Vienna?
Look, in general, we are happy that we have two Eurowings planes here in Vienna. From today's point of view, I would say roughly 30% of the capacity is replacing Austrian Airlines capacity, 30% capacity is actual new capacity, and 30% is leisure traffic targeting Niki or other low-cost carriers. So from what this would be my initial judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it could well be that there will be more planes based in Vienna, but for 2016, I would not encourage anybody to think that this could be more than those two planes. I think it will depend a lot on the development of Austrian. And personally, I think the most important decision for the hub in Vienna will be if Austrian would get additional long-haul capacity in 17, 18, 19. 2016 is already out of the question. I think so it's important to fill the new Embraer planes, but I think it's more important to get in 2016 a decision on the long-haul development of Austrian. Apart from that, yes, obviously we will do our utmost to support the Eurowings base here in Vienna, and we will try to encourage Eurowings to base more planes here. I think one very important decision could be, but that's very difficult to say as well. But obviously, what would be very supportive if sooner or later we would get rid of the tax here in Austria, because I think this would be a significant improvement in respect to German destinations. As I said, I think the two planes, we're happy to have them here. I think that's it for 2016. And then, yeah, we are eager to work together with Austrian Airlines to make Vienna more competitive in the future.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for helpful answers to this question. Thank you.
Thanks.
As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Suzanne Todd of Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions. Maybe just take the first one on the CapEx. In terms of the CapEx, can you give some more granularity on the substantial reduction versus the 95 million? And in terms of the split of that reduction, can you break it out for us between the reduction in purchase price, cancellations, and any postponements?
Yeah, you can put one third to each of these reasons. So one third will not be done at all. Roughly one third is delayed, and one third is cost reductions or better prices achieved. I mean, it's still a little bit difficult to give you a more detailed number where we will end up end of the year, but from today's perspective, it will be clearly below 95.
Could I ask to maybe put a floor on it, so to speak? Would it be above the 2014 level of CAPEX or below that?
Yeah. Yeah. Finally, at least there, yes.
Sorry, just to get a clarification, it would be around or above the level of 2014 or below it?
Between our initial guidance and the level of 14.
That's very helpful, thank you. And then just a question on the runway decision. I think previously you had discussed with me you might expect a decision actually this summer. That hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Are you thinking it could be imminent or much later in the year?
Nobody really knows. At least not we.
Understood.
So it's totally up to the court. When they will issue the decision.
And so just the last
what question. What we could do, we have done. So all the necessary steps in the procedure have been finalized, and now we are waiting.
And in terms of your forecast, because you anticipate that you would be runway constrained after 2020, could you just tell us exactly what your utilization rate is at the moment and what you are forecasting for flight movements between now and 2020?
If you allow, Susan, we actually did not give any guidance for the movement expectations. We only had some numbers for the passenger development.
Can I just make sure I understand, in terms of when you think you would be runway constrained, can you give us an indication of when that would be?
Of when?
So we didn't get your question clear. We had some...
I wanted to check when you think you would be runway constrained. I think you...
Yeah, I mean, from today's perspective, yeah, the perspective is still 25.
After 2025. 2025 or later.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
As there are no further questions over the telephone, I will now hand you back to the host for any additional or closing remarks.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your interest. Should you have any questions at a later point of time, please do not hesitate and get back to me. I'm happy to answer your questions. Thank you again for your participation. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.